Wait. I'm sorry. Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. Bonnie, will you do the roll call, please? Please state your name and address.
All right. My name is Noah Smuckler, and I'm a resident of North Morro Bay, 2970 Elm Avenue. And I'm here tonight to be part of this meeting. I am the vice chair of Surfrider Foundation as well. And again, tonight, I'd like to thank the City Council of Morro Bay and the crew of our wastewater treatment plants for their obvious intent to work as quickly as possible to end the sewage waiver, the 301H waiver. And I was really came out of our last meeting, however long ago it was, really proud to be a Morro Bay resident and have you guys representing us. Once again, with the sewage treatment plants, I feel like we have an all-star crew down there, and I think all Surfriders are supportive of the idea of going to full tertiary treatment, which it seemed from the Corolla presentation was going to be the most beneficial for us to pursue, because we would be making most use of our space down there at the treatment plants, and because of the possibility of grants and so on, it seemed like tertiary was something that we're going to need to do down the road anyway, so why not plan for it now? And as far as the Cayuga CSD goes, I'm still a little confused about where your group is going. You know, we're surrounded here by CSDs in the north and the south that are having a lot of problems with this issue. And you guys have the chance here to come aboard this group. We have a great opportunity. We have the space down there to house you guys. And, you know, we're an ecotourism type group here on the Central Coast. And this is something that has to happen, especially with the price of water and the continued rise in the availability of not having water. So thank you very much, and I will talk to you later.
Anyone else?
I think we'll do the Surfrider 1-2 punch here. I'm the chair of San Luis Bay Surfrider, Matthew Fleming, 2083 Seaview Avenue, Morro Bay. I teach at Cuesta College. And I guess, you know, there's always a better understanding, or someone who has a better understanding of the science, or a better understanding of the economics, and I know that those things tend to be what gets debated. And I'm not here to debate those. I'm here just to say that it makes sense to think about doing the cleanest water, the cleanest processes that we have the ability to do. Because there are our 500 members, there are thousands of water users along this coastline that think that that's just about the most precious thing there is and the reason to live here. That is the greatest wilderness they've ever visited. And in the past few weeks, we've seen spills of sewage at least two times, and this is something that happens quite a bit during the winter months. And I think people are getting pretty tired of it. They're getting tired of hearing, oh, it was a computer glitch. Oh, well, it was because... The more likely we will have a public who is discontent, who has discontent with the way things are being done at the management level, and who is unhappy about their society, their surroundings. Swimming in that water and risking immune problems, sinus infections, you're not responsible for the sharks, shouldn't be an acceptable thing. We shouldn't say, well, it's storm season, so therefore you can't surf today. It needs to end. We need to stop thinking, oh, well, we'll just try to make this a little better this time, and then next time we'll do this. There is no more next time. People are fed up. Water users are fed up, and I'm glad that you're all here focusing on that and working on that. And as Noah said, we definitely respect the work that's being done so far, and we just want to reinforce the notion that let's do for once, let's go overboard in the opposite direction. Let's be overly cautious. Let's spend a little too much money to clean the water up. I doubt anybody's going to come back and say, I'm really upset at you that I got to swim and surf in clean water and it cost me $5 or $20 or $30 or $150 more. Because to be honest, there's no cost you can put on that kind of healthy experience. Thank you.
Hello, Marla Bruton, North Morro Bay. I echo the surf rider's opinion, and a lot of spill, I think it was from CMC maybe, but the whole bay was just, and people were laughing that we're guests at us, at Morro Bay, because it smelled like a sewer. Anyway, I am very interested in the point that the last speaker brought up about having no more time. The end of the waivers, these are waivers of environmental protection laws. We're one of the last places that is still dumping untreated sewage into the ocean. It needs to stop. What happened with Fresno coming over here and the Department of Reclamation wanting to dump their selenium-tainted waters in our outfall here. By the way, thank you, Morro Bay had a couple of representatives. Cayucas didn't, I noticed, speaking up for the people. That is paying the piper for 40 years of not doing, following EPA standards. Waiver here, waiver there, fidget here, fidget there. Now they have a huge problem, and they're either going to have to retire land, which is what they should do, retire the earth, and use that earth to hold their water and take the time it needs to help that out. But the thought of jumping it in our ocean, I mean, this is an Orwellian world we're living in. It's just beyond me that in this day and age that people would think of doing that. And Cayucas thwarted the last JPA meeting that they were at. And then the next JPA meeting in July, they canceled with no new date for the next meeting. And I found out about this meeting yesterday with a two-day notice. Now, the last JPA meeting we had a lot of people here. This is not due process for the public. And Cayucas, we had the discussion at the last meeting. Yeah, we're going to try to be working to have extra meetings to get this done and the timeline and all that. And what I see you're doing tonight is nothing but trying to hold Morro Bay in some sort of ransom. And it's not going to work because we really don't need you. We would like to have you come over, but we don't need you to do the right thing.
Next.
Honorable board members, Joey Ricano, Ocean Outfall Group. It's nice to see you today. We don't get a chance to see this joint powers agency very often. I'd like to show you, this is, where in the heck, let me see, yeah, there we go. This is my ABC plan. It's the Andre Bay Cayucas plan. Basically what it does is it connects the three cities on the bay together, and we all treat our effluent together, and we all make water together. These are my StopTheWaiver.com bumper stickers. Now, if you go to StopTheWaiver.com, you will see a lot of interesting information there. One of them is my daily blog, and we're involved in bringing to this area, and when I say this area, I mean the Morro Bay Estuary Watershed. We're interested in bringing this area what it really needs. And what it really needs is a future. And without water, you don't have a future. And the regional approach brings you water. Now, Myopic approaches, like the one being proposed in Los Osos that is being defeated, it doesn't bring you water. It doesn't battle saltwater intrusion. It doesn't recycle. It's not regional. It's not full tertiary. It's basically not what you need at a very high price. Now, Morro Bay, Los Osos, and Cayucas, serendipity strikes. We all need the same thing at the same time. And so what you do is you create a regional full tertiary plan. The first thing you're going to have to do is dissolve the Joint Powers Agency, the Joint Powers Agreement, because it's antiquated. It was only designed to last 30 years. It was intentionally designed to favor Cayucas, and Cayucas is not helping in the clean water battle. Cayucas is dragging their feet, and we're going to drag Cayucas kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Now, this is what the ABC plan looks like. The Andre Bay Cayucas plan. Andre Bay Cayucas. And what it does is it does primary treatment, and then it does secondary treatment, and then it does tertiary treatment. Now, you want to be careful with taking shortcuts. Believe me, in Morro Bay right now, there's some talk about treating less than secondarily treated sewage with chlorine or some type of disinfectant. And that's dangerous because you can form chemical reactions that are endocrine disruptors that are more dangerous than the sewage was to begin with. Now, we want to tell you that we support you 100%. Right now, I can't tell you how proud I am of Surfrider for endorsing the regional ABC plan. I can't tell you how proud I am at Morro Bay for showing the kind of leadership that this area is going to need to take us, into the 21st century with some clean water and no endocrine disruptors and a regional full tertiary system. Now, if I may, I'd like to take a moment to let you know that the process is in the works. It really is. And in Los Osos right now is a recall election, and that recall election has a lot to do with where we're going. And so I'd like to say I support that recall, and I don't support the wastewater treatment plan as currently proposed there. And instead, I want to see a regional full tertiary plan implemented, and it'll save us money because everybody's got to pay you when they hook in later. It's a moneymaker. So I'd like to introduce one of those candidates, and his name is Steve Sennett. He's a man of uncommon integrity and knowledge. Thank you very much.
Good evening. My name is Steve Sennett. I'm a candidate for a recall election to replace Richard LeGros. And the ABC plan is something that Jody has been promoting for since he came here. Basically, he latched onto it pretty quick, and he identified this as a useful and strategic goal for all of our communities. The Los Osos sewer is a very complex project, and whether or not it gets moved out of town is a nightmare for some, it's a dream for others, whatever. But whether it comes to realization, I think we should keep in mind that there is possibility and potential for the three communities to join together in a common goal and perhaps receive some economy in joining our facilities together somehow. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you to keep us on the radar screen, take a look at what's going on. The advantage of moving our sewer plant out of town is that we will have room to grow and to have options available to accommodate a regional plan. Not that our timelines will necessarily coincide, but somewhere down the future road, it may. And it kind of reminds me about like buying a TV nowadays. You want it to play what you want to see in the future. You know, when we were buying TVs, it was like HDTV ready or capable, digital ready, all these buzzwords. But I think the main goal is for us to be able to blend our systems together, if that's at all possible, and realize some good things for all of us. So thank you very much.
Anyone else?
Keith Swanson, Los Osos. I hate to bring our dirty laundry and other things up here. I know that you guys probably have a longer time frame than Los Osos does as far as sewage treatment, everything in the future. I mean, ours is getting much shorter. I wish that we would take the time to look at a regional idea. I think that's probably the best one I've heard. I've always been an advocate of getting it out of town. It never made any sense to put a sewer in the middle of town when we have other areas to put it. I would just encourage, if it's possible, I realize we're at odds because we, you know, they may be planning to start next week. And they're going to actually spend, the people want to vote. They want to vote for recall, maybe change the board so that they can change direction in Los Osos, which give us the opportunity to maybe explore this idea. But unfortunately, our CSD is planning to spend as much money as they possibly can before then to try and circumvent the process and the voice of the people. And I think that from the lessons learned in Los Osos, perhaps you can learn them here to maybe listen. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, seeing no one else, we'll continue to the consent calendar. Anyone wishing to have an item removed for separate discussion may request so at this time. Mr. Dubow.
Mr. President, I'd like to pull items A1, A3, and A4 from the consent calendar because I have some questions on those items.
All right, with that, we could... All right. Okay, with that, we could take item A2, minutes of the Technical Advisory Committee meeting. Motion for approval would be in order. Cayucas.
Mr. President, Cayucas would like to make a motion to approve item A2.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Mayor Peters.
All right, does council wish to pull any items for discussion other than those already pulled? No? All right. May I hear a motion approving A2?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
All right, thank you. We'll take item A1, minutes of the May 19th meeting. Bill, you had a question.
Yes. Betty, can I play your role tonight?
Excuse me?
Can I play your role tonight?
Sure, go for it.
As I get older, my memory might not be very well, but on the, I guess the third page, down the middle, it talks to subcommittee, and it talks about researching depreciation issue. I thought the purpose of the subcommittee was one of two things, either to discuss Bruce Kehoe's white paper dated 5/19/05 and it's JPA agency number B3, or the other purpose was for the wastewater treatment plant technical advisory committee.
As a member of that subcommittee, I know that we did not discuss depreciation. So I don't know. Are you suggesting we need to change the minutes then?
Yes, correctly. That's my first suggestion. And then the next paragraph talks about the JPA board's meeting, the second Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. commencing in July. And I want it noted that Cayucas did not cancel the July meeting. And it doesn't matter who canceled it. But the only reason I want to bring this comment up is Cayucas board is concerned that we spoke a sense of urgency in June, but we haven't practiced as a group since June. And then the reference to the subcommittee again shows up on the last page under the second paragraph under item 5 on the last page. Again, it talks about depreciation research committee, so I'm suggesting we need to change that. And then I believe, and again, my memory might be failing me, under item 4 on the last page, I thought a portion of delaying the action on the board on the budget for the wastewater treatment was that we wanted financial representation from the city to be present to answer questions. And again, I could have a faulty memory.
No, I think that's right.
So the only thing I'm really asking is that the subcommittee name be changed, that's all. And other than that, the others were just comments, points of information.
I could see where we could, on page 3, just strike the word, just put a period after Winholtz and strike the words "for the purpose of researching depreciation issues." And on the back page, I would then move that we would strike the words "depreciation research."
That sounds favorable over here, unless anyone else is going to speak.
Do we have to vote on this on each side?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'd need a second over here?
Well, let's let them. Okay. They brought it up, so we'll let you go first.
So I guess on this side, that was I'm making the first to change the what Betty just said, the two places as said.
All right, let's take that as a go ahead and make that as a motion, and we'll take that first, and then we'll give it to Morbay. And then if you want to make another change, we'll do that.
Yeah, no, I make that motion, just those two places of change as Betty suggested.
Second. Okay, motion and a second. Cayucas, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved then. Mayor Peters.
Okay, any other comments on these minutes besides Ms. Winholtz?
Move approval as amended.
Second.
As corrected, right. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None.
Okay, Bill, did you have another?
Yes, on A3. Actually, a question to Bruce on on page 4. You talk about two training sessions, one June 8th and 9th and one on June 22nd. And I have no problem with those. I just have a question out of ignorance. Is it possible, or maybe you already do include Cayucas Sanitary District employees in those type trainings?
The June 8th and 9th training is actually part of a citywide training, I believe. And I would have to see if, you know, if we can, if in that instance we can include them in that sort of program. I don't know what the administrative protocol is there. And what was the other one?
The following one, June 22nd.
Believe that the June 22nd was actually orchestrated and put together by Bill Callahan, and we actually provided the meeting space, and your guys did attend that one, I believe. Did they not? Yeah.
Only point I want to make, wherever there's joint participation, if it's allowed, it's appreciated because those are timely topical subjects.
Yeah, and actually, Mr. Callahan, I believe, is putting together another training seminar. He's doing the legwork, and we'll probably provide the building space. But we're in contact on that stuff as much as possible.
Excellent. And the only other comment I want to make about this whole agenda item here, I really appreciate Bruce's effort and his staff effort to give us this much detail. And I have a lot of it highlighted, but no, I'm not going to ask questions. So, again, Mr. President, I'd like to make a motion that Cayucas accept agenda item A3 as presented.
Okay, motion has been made to accept item A3.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay, any other comments on A3?
I have one. First, I'd like to congratulate Bruce on his passing the Health County inspection. That's great. At the lab. And then I just have a question on page 3. It talks about people being able to pick up the biosolid composting. And then again on the back, the hazardous waste collection. And I'm just curious how we are advertising these two programs.
The composted biosolids has been advertised in the Morro Bay Public Service newsletter, which I believe is part of the budget cuts that came around this time. But we do have a slide on AGP video when they're off the air that kind of have a informational program. So we're on there for that. And I'm trying to get out as word of mouth as much as possible. The household hazardous waste facility is actually administrated by the Integrated Waste Management Authority, the local Integrated Waste Management Authority, and it's been on TV, it's been on the radio, it's in the newspaper, it's very well advertised because they run more than one facility. And I would remind people it's open Saturday, 11 to 3, because there's been misinformation that we're actually open on Fridays as well. So sometimes we can't always accommodate people when they show up because it's not our facility. We lease space to them, but we sometimes have to turn people away if they're not there on Saturdays.
Kayukas, would you be interested in advertising these through your little local newspaper, or do you have your own newsletter that you could participate in these?
We do not have a newsletter. We can include some information in a billing to our customers, so they could be aware of that, if that would be something. I'd suggest
Mr. President, we could put it on our website.
And we also have a website where we could announce it. So thank you, Bill. So I think we could probably work with Bruce on the wording on that and see if we can be a part of that. Thank you.
Yeah. I would move A3.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Okay, item A4, Bill.
Yes, account number 6411, property damage. I'm curious that in the year-to-date expenses, 3 years in a row, it's $21,568, the same amount. So actual expenses, I'd like to know what that is.
Could you say the number again, Bill?
Yes, account 6411. It's called Property Damage is the title of it. It's on the bottom of the first page.
Okay, Bruce?
This is not one of the areas of my expertise, so I think we'd have to get back to you with that answer. We'd probably have to check with the risk manager in Morro Bay to see what, are you asking what's included in that line item, or...
Yes, I'm curious because it's the same amount for 3 years in a row, so then it's, why is it the same and what's there?
Okay, I'm sure we can, maybe Bob.
It's insurance premium.
I would suggest that they're premiums, they should be in a different account. But you could be very well correct.
So there's two lines of insurance, the general liability and then the property damage. I think that's what it is.
And the other question I have is really it affects two accounts. It's on the bottom of the back page. It's account 8720 and 8721. 2O is rent distribution, and 21 is payment to other agencies. And I noticed in prior years, in round numbers, the actual expense is $30,000 in transfer to city. And then this past current year, 11 months, there's zero in that line item, but there's $14,409 in payment to other agencies. Licenses. I'm curious what that's all about. Well, if somebody could get back to Bonnie, I'd appreciate that. That's all. And with those questions noted, then I'd like for Kayukas to recommend approval of A4 as presented.
Okay, is there a second? Second by Craig Bell. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
A question. On the payment to other agencies, you said there was something in that line. That's all zero.
No, in the last current year, it's $14,400.
That's up in the line above. Rent is.
Oh, am I off a line?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I just put a piece of paper under it. It's hard to read.
Okay. Then I'm talking about 8510 and 8720 is the two questions, what I'm questioning. Because in 8510, there's $30,000 a year actual expenses in round numbers, and then zero in the current year. And in 8720, there's $14,409 expenses, where there was zero prior 2 years.
Okay. All right. Any questions on this one on Morbay side? May I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Motion by Melody, second by Thad. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
All right. With that, we'll go to unfinished business.
Mr. President, I'd like to suggest that we hold on B1 until we finish discussing item C2 and C3, as item C2 will affect B1.
All right. Is that acceptable to the City of Morro Bay?
Sure.
All right. Thank you. Then we will hold item B1 until we've discussed C2 and 3. With that, we will take item B2. And Bruce, that's your report.
This report updates the status of the 9.5-year full secondary compliance schedule that was adopted by the city and the district at their respective meetings on June 13th. We submitted that time schedule to Regional Board. We actually sat down with Regional Board staff on July 15th to discuss the time schedule and get feedback from Regional Board staff. It was a very positive meeting. I had expected a little more push to get the time schedule shortened, but in fact, after listening to the presentation, I think they were very pleased that we had come in with a much shorter time schedule than I think they had originally anticipated. The discussion then centered on how we would memorialize that agreement between the city and the district and the regional board, and how that agreement would be incorporated into our next permit. There were a couple options discussed, one of which was special legislation, one of which was the reissuance of another 301H permit. The general consensus was that the reissuance of another 301H permit followed by a secondary, and at the end of that 5-year period, a secondary treatment permit issued with interim effluent limitations would be the preferred option. So at that point, it was basically decided that the attorneys from Regional Board would begin a first draft of an agreement, and that legal counsel for the sanitary district and the city would review that and begin negotiations on that subject. So that is going to be an ongoing subject over the next month or two. At that meeting, with the time schedule starting to proceed down the path, it's basically bringing the NPDS permit renewal issue back into coming out of limbo, and it's actually going to become an active process again. So Regional Board staff is actually pushing to have a permit renewal hearing for our plant on the December 2nd, 2005 Regional Board hearing meeting. And I think that's a pretty optimistic goal, depending on how fast we can work through the negotiations on the time schedule. There is a set public notice and comment period that has to be followed in order to meet the December deadline, and Regional Board staff has been kind enough to kind of lay that out for us, which dates are critical. So we're now kind of in a two-pronged path. I'm hoping that we're going to see some action on that end over the next month or two. So I think we'll be meeting again next month, and probably the month after and the month after, to try and to hammer out those negotiations. But overall, I think it was a very positive experience that we had at Regional Board. And I just, at that point, I guess I'd open it up for questions.
Anyone have questions of Bruce?
I have a comment, just that there was a comment made about the fact that we didn't have our July meeting, and all of this has been going on. The reason we didn't have a meeting was there was really nothing for us to discuss yet, because this preliminary work was still being done. So it's not at all a matter of us trying to avoid the schedule. but all of us go to enough meetings that we don't need to have one where nothing gets done. So.
Any other comments?
Maybe just a question of clarification. This resubmittal that you made is what's going to be decided in December? Or is that part of the two-prong thing that's the other direction?
The actual Section 401 water quality certification was denied without prejudice.
I think, but for the public,
all right, with that, no actions needed on that item. Thank you, Bruce.
Do we need to receive
that? I don't think so. Okay. It's just an update. With that, we'll take item C2 then. Or I'm sorry, C1, new business.
You know, if you want to, my suggestion might be that if we want to discuss the budget, we do C2, C3, and then back to B1, because C1 is really going to lead into items C4, 5, and 6, I believe, because it's really the discussion of where we're going with the facility plan and kind of the strategy I have in mind for getting through the process.
All right, I think that makes a lot of sense, Bruce. Thank you. Let's take item C2 then. And I'll defer to Bill Jabot.
I think this has been a subject that's talked about by both boards for many years, and obviously many years before I joined the board. And basically, I had an excellent meeting with Mr. Kozier, and I must say he's very articulate. He's very open and very perceptive in his assessments of past, current, and future. And trying to respond to that meeting and our auditor's comments at our last meeting in June, that I particularly asked him after he gave his report, since he had made adjustments for depreciation and he made reference that we're an enterprise fund, did that not mean that we should be booking depreciation every month? And he said, yes. Matter of fact, when I audit your future years that are yet to be audited, I have to put an adjustment every year there too. Talking to Mr. Kozier, he's not treating the wastewater treatment plant as an enterprise fund. He's treating it like the rest of the Morro Bay City government funds. And he made the statement to me, and I believe I'll not misquote him, that he has two enterprise accounting-wise funds. One is the Harbor Association, I might get the name wrong, and the other one is the Parks and Recreation.
Water, okay.
And he said that, and I must add rightly, he said that he was not empowered to change the wastewater treatment plant until these two joint boards told him what to change. So he was basically saying the boards have to tell him what to do. So all I'm proposing here, and really there's no hidden motive, I'm trying to propose what is in the JPA agreement and what our most recent auditor has said, that we must come to an enterprise fund, which includes booking monthly depreciation. And it also
It also means to go to be a true enterprise fund that there's some other accounting adjustments that Mr. Kozier would have to make, but he's surely competent and capable to do that.
Okay, is there any discussion? Morro Bay, comments?
Well, actually, I don't know where the confusion was, but in actuality, this fund is treated exactly the same as our other enterprise funds, and it is, you know, an annual depreciation. It's not monthly. So I'm not quite sure what would be accomplished by having, other than a lot of extra work, what would be accomplished by having monthly depreciation accountings?
To be an enterprise fund, accounting-wise, you have to be treated like a private business, not a government agency, which includes booking depreciation monthly and a whole bunch of other things, like having a separate balance sheet and not having your assets commingled with other city assets. Basically, you have to set it up as a separate company. And then both the city and the sanitary district actually only record the owner equity, their portion of the owner equity. They don't really run the rest of it through the books. And then the city would have to, the wastewater treatment plant, accounting-wise, would have to bill, as they currently do, the sanitary district quarterly, and then they'd have to bill the wastewater treatment fund, or whatever you call that agency, quarterly also, which I think there is some kind of fund transfer, but it'd have to be more formal with invoices.
Well, in looking at the letter that we have from our certified public accountants, and they said that the financial statements referred to in our audit are all presented fairly and everything is appropriate. So I guess I'm still not quite sure it's been operating this way for quite some time. We have other enterprise funds that are handled the same way. So I'm still not sure why this one should be different or how it's different.
Well, formally, by the way it's being booked, there is no accumulated depreciation. There is no money. There is no fund.
This should be cash depreciation funds?
Yes.
Are depreciation funds in cash? I mean, I admit, this is not my field, but it seems to me that depreciation is simply a line item. It's not a cash fund.
Depreciation, in theory, is a non-cash item, but you need to accumulate cash somewhere so that when it comes time to replace the assets, all of which what this upgrade is all about, you normally would have enough funds there then to replace without going out. That is out the window because these funds haven't been administered that way for many years, not just this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there would, in theory, if they were treated as enterprise fund and there was a capital outlay fund and whatnot, the money would be sitting there, and then we as collective boards don't have to go look for money, which we are going to have to do. We're going to have to do that independent of this. Mm-hmm. But what it does is set the structure. What I'm proposing is sets the structure starting in this year with this item and the next item that once we do upgrade, then we'll have a mechanism, A, to pay for the studies of that, and then B, to perpetuate in future years, assuming that we don't, because I don't think we can upgrade with this upgrade to the highest level and never, ever upgrade again because the laws keep changing. So we're always going to be faced with this project at some point in the future. And I think we like to look at like a 50-year horizon. So how do we set up the operation and going forward, not today, but what's for the future? So these are intended for setting it up so that near-term, the 9.5-year project, and then longer-term, 20, 30 years. We have a mechanism in place.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
I'd like to follow up on what Mayor Peters said, okay, if I might. Our city council has to come up with funds, obviously, when we do a project, and we will, but we'll do it independently, and we'll put it together and make it go. That's the way it's been done before. It probably will be done now, or should be done now.
The phrase generally accepted accounting practices is a phrase that means, given the type of accounting you're doing, whether you're a private enterprise, whether you're a government, there are some other accounting methods, and that you're using the right accounting practices for that method. So basically, the auditor in his formal write-up is saying two things. He's saying you're following generally accepted accounting practices. He's also stating in there we're an enterprise, but he verbally stated we're not. And Mr. Kozer said he's not treating us as an enterprise, the wastewater treatment plant.
I didn't hear anything at the meeting with the auditor that indicated to me that we should make any changes at all. I'm sorry. You must have heard something entirely different.
Well, I noticed it wasn't in the minutes of that meeting either, but I did ask the question and he answered it.
We could always check the tape.
That's an idea.
Okay, well, I'd like to make a comment. First of all, the auditor did explain that the wastewater treatment plant is an enterprise fund. He also explained to Bill that he's not treating it as an enterprise fund. He only has two in the city that he treats as enterprise funds, the harbor and the water. I'm hearing Morro Bay say that this treatment plant is handled as an enterprise fund. I'm hearing the auditor say that it is not. So our request is that, and right now, frankly, I'm willing to sit here until he shows up. Now, maybe that's not reasonable, but we've asked for months and months and months for Mr. Kozer to come to deal with this problem. It's real simple. It either is treated as an enterprise fund or it's not. We either would like to ask him to treat it as an enterprise fund, or we would like to just forget the whole thing and go on doing business the way we've been doing business. The real crux of it is that it's going to require that we put some money aside for depreciation. Bill's suggestion here is that when we do that, we then have money to pay for these studies and to go on with the upgrade of the plant. It's like saying we want to put some money in savings so that we can accomplish doing this upgrade to secondary treatment. What I'm hearing from Morro Bay is, oh, we have other ways and other money and we'll pay for it. But what I'm hearing the auditor say is that it should be an enterprise fund. You should have a separate accounting of the depreciation and the funding that goes into that. This item and the next item on the agenda address that. If Morro Bay insists that they don't want to do that, I'd like to hear them say that.
Well, number one, yes, we do have it as a separate enterprise fund. That is how it exists today. And I'm getting assurance from that from my city manager. It is our third enterprise fund, and it is being handled that way. As far as having a fund for our expenses, we also have that. We know what our expenses will be, and we are prepared to meet them as the time arrives where they are needed. And I assume Cayucas is willing to do that as well. I don't quite understand.
His notes here and the letter that he included in our packets, he suggested that these funds could be kept separate. We're not trying to commingle funds here. If your city manager has assured you that this is an enterprise fund, then your city manager can stand up right now and explain why there's a zero in the depreciation column on the budget. And that's why we've asked to hold item B1 until we can discuss 2 and 3, because we'd like to put a number in that column. So I'd like to ask Mr. Hendricks if he'd like to stand up and say this is absolutely guaranteed an enterprise fund.
Mr. Hendricks, would you like to take the stand? Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Madam Mayor, Mr. Chairman, I have a couple of thoughts about this. They are that under current accounting standards, both enterprise and non-enterprise funds are handled the same way with regard to depreciation. That's my understanding. I'm a non-accountant, but that and those requirements on non-enterprise funds were not in existence 5 years ago, but they are now. Secondly, it's my understanding that we have three enterprise funds, not two. And thirdly, what the city does with its cash is it pools it for investment purposes. So our cash is pooled for investment purposes and handled in that way, and so that all cash requirements are drawn out of a single cash pool for our expenses citywide, irrespective of what fund a city. And that is that, in a sense, it's non-financial. There's not a financial entity created as a result of our relationship. These are two independent agencies with a joint asset ownership. The administration and management of the operation, however, is the responsibility of the city, and the form by which our relationship takes place is that we do the management and operation of the plant, the capital expenditure, and the rest of it, and we bill the district on a periodic basis for those expenses, and the district reimburses us. So it would be an independent responsibility of the district if and when those expenses came forward to have sufficient funds to pay the bill, in my view.
That's my understanding of the historical relationship. I do happen to have an MBA, and I cannot speak about non-enterprise or government accounting. I can only speak about enterprise accounting, and I'd like to ask you, what annual report do you ever pick up that doesn't show depreciation? And now annual report, you'll generally see the year, but trust me, every month they have depreciation on their report. And when they do their budget for the year in their P&L, they have depreciation. We do not have that at the wastewater treatment plant.
Well, I don't want to speak about it in generalities. I can only speak about what I know about, and that's the response that I've given you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I don't dispute what you're saying, but I think that's why historically Cayucas has requested someone from your finance organization come, whether it be Mr. Kozer or his assistant, the nice young lady, I forget her name. That has been a repeated request. And talking to Mr. Kozer, I understand why he doesn't come, and I respect that. Then I suggest then his assistant should attend.
Just a line item entry.
He's giving you guidance for government, which is non-enterprise. Enterprise is not government, it's private business.
Mr. Kozer is telling you how he's doing it, and we don't dispute how he's doing it. We're asking that we change how he's doing it from a government fund to an enterprise fund, which is the way this treatment plant budget is to be handled.
And maybe the way out of this tonight, both these positions, we're only talking about one, but they both go hand in hand, is this subcommittee that we're talking about, whether we want to call it technical or the white paper, whatever. Maybe this is a subject matter for that, and then maybe someone from the city's finance department could attend that subcommittee and discuss it there.
Was this a subcommittee that was constituted to not discuss depreciation, incidentally?
Correct.
Yeah. My view.
But it's in Bruce's white paper. That's one of the subject matter.
I would just say this as the city manager. My view is if you gentlemen have a problem with the way we're keeping our books, you need to come down and talk to us. We'll go over it with us, as Jim did before. We're happy to talk to you. It's my belief that we're treating depreciation in an appropriate way. Our auditor thinks we're treating it in an appropriate way. It's consistent with generally accepted accounting standards. And I don't know what else to say to you. We don't think the funds should be commingled. We don't have a joint powers authority here with a third-party fund. We have two separate entities with their own financing, and it seems to me that that would be the only clean way to keep this and not commingle our assets in a way that would obscure the accounting for this or any future projects.
I actually clarified by our auditor, Mr. Robert Crosby, as to what he meant in his statements about this needed to be an enterprise fund, and maybe we can start there. I'd recommend that we defer this to our standing subcommittee on the wastewater treatment plant, and that have him attend a meeting and see if we could discuss it and figure out really what he's trying to tell us to do. And I would like to comment that at the last meeting we had, we did discuss depreciation because Mr. Hendricks suggested that I personally speak to Mr. Kozer about this. And I actually asked at our meeting following that subcommittee meeting, I asked that Bill Jabot speak with Mr. Kozer because Bill has a master's in business, and I felt him more qualified than me to discuss this with Mr. Kozer. He did that. He wrote this paper that we've been able to read tonight, and it appears that there's some difference of opinion, or Mr. Kozer saying one thing to Bill and another thing to the city of Morro Bay. So with that, I'd recommend we send this to that subcommittee and see if we could have Mr. Robert Crosby attend that meeting and clarify this for us. Any other comments? Okay.
Do we need motions on that?
We have comments over here? No?
I have no comment other than in the spirit of cooperation as a subcommittee member. I'm willing to do that.
Okay.
Thank you, Betty. I would just like to get it clear. Item C2, once you decide to do one, then the other becomes a part of it. So they're actually two things together. With that, we can go back to item B1. And Cayucas would like to wait until we have some kind of a guidance from the CPA auditor and Mr. Kozer, some resolution, this other thing, so we can determine how to enter that final number in the budget. Any other comments?
Yeah, I have one other question with the budget. Unfortunately, the longer I look at the numbers, I get more questions. Account number, I think it's the second page of the budget, and if I get the account numbers right, 8510 allocated cost transferred to general fund, I assume, and then debt service, 8730 fixed asset depreciation, debt service, and interfund. Both of them in the budget for column H, which I believe is FY05-06 budget, both of them are showing $30,000 or combined total $60,000, and I'd like to know what that is.
Could you say those numbers just a little slower?
Yeah. Absolutely. 8510.
8510.
8730.
8730.
You know, when I think that the spreadsheet you're looking at is actually my cheat sheet for putting the budget together. And within the city for the wastewater treatment plant is what I believe.
Okay, I understand that.
Right. And the 8730, I don't have an answer for that one, but I'm sure that maybe during the subcommittee we can try and pull a number, you know, we can get some explanation there.
Thank you, Bruce.
Okay, with that, then we will simply extend the item B1 for a report from the subcommittee, and we can recommend approval either at separate meetings or at our next joint meeting.
We have approved the budget, actually, so it's done on our side.
Okay. Until we change it, and then you have to do it again.
Okay.
All right. With that, we'll take item number C1. And, Bruce, I guess we really didn't help you on that, so you'll have to do the best you can.
Okay, this item pretty much is an update on some of the activities that I've sort of started based on the timeline. That was adopted in the interim period when we had submitted the time schedule to regional board and we're sort of waiting for a response and getting ready for our discussion with regional board staff. I looked at the time schedule and with the idea that both the council and the district have pretty much given us the idea that they want to push ahead on this project as fast as possible, I decided to process. I ran into, I have it pretty well outlined. I've looked at other RFPs from other facilities. I contacted some engineering firms. I've looked at Pismo Beaches. I've looked at some other cities and said, you know, I kind of like this outline. And there's some basic, real general things that we have to do. We have to look at what our projected capacity needs are going to be in the future. That's the first thing that the engineers are going to do. So some of that stuff's real straightforward. But as I got farther into it, the part where I needed direction and guidance on is really what sort of treatment alternatives do we want to have included in this scope of work? If we're simply looking at going to a secondary upgrade, then there's really no reason to look any farther. If we want to go to complete tertiary, maybe we don't need to include the secondary component in that process. The city council at the last meeting endorsed, and last two meetings, I think, has endorsed tertiary treatment, either full or partial in some way. The district just talking to district staff and looking at some of the memos that have come out, I want to make sure that everybody's needs are met when we put the scope of work together and that the scope of work is comprehensive when we're done. And so one of the questions I have that came out of it is, does the district want to participate in the study of tertiary treatment at the present facility? And if not, how do we kind of break down the costs and the contractual portion of that to make sure that the district's not paying for things that aren't, that isn't in cost allocations, who pays for what? And I think the facility plan, at least putting the scope of work together, will help facilitate that conversation. And that's kind of why I started it. And I really thought I could just breeze right through it, but I sort of stubbed my toe a couple times. And that's kind of why I'm here tonight, is to say, there are issues going into this facility plan, and the sooner we get it started, it's actually not due. We're not due to award a contract for facilities planning until December of 2006. So I'm a little premature in the process, but I do know that both boards have expressed a desire to get this project moving as fast as possible. And I wanted to also, stress to the regulatory agencies that we are moving forward, even if they didn't buy into the time schedule, that the district and the city are serious about moving ahead on this project. So with that, I guess I can open it up for questions.
Mr. President, yes. I think Bruce should be commended for taking the step and trying to push us a year earlier than what is in the outline by Corella. But I think there was a very valid reason why Corella put task one before task two. And I think the whole purpose of the subcommittee, the shadow subcommittee, was to discuss all these things and try to get that ironed out before we go to task two. And I'd like to suggest that I think this has to be put on hold until that subcommittee does quite a bit of work. And again, I'm saying that with an understanding that the subcommittee, we're going to all be adults and go power of cooperation. It's not an adversarial type approach.
Okay. I think what Bruce is trying to do here is to push versus secondary, all or portion. So I'd like to agendize that to that subcommittee meeting, if we could.
I'd like to interject that Bruce's May 16th, or whatever it is, what I'm calling the white paper, outlines all those in great detail. It was like 6 or 7 pages, and it's very explicit. And I think what he did here was recap those to a little, for us that have less attention spans.
I'm wondering if it saves time to actually meet monthly as a whole committee, both boards, rather than go to the subcommittee only for this reason. We can hash out things in the subcommittee, and we'll come to an agreement amongst the four of us, but then we come here, and then there's 10 of us. And what if others of us don't agree with what we've settled on? I'm wondering if we do it all together, if that's more efficient. I'm just throwing it out.
And if I could follow up on that, when we do things here, we do them in public, and Brown Act and all covers it, so that the public also hears the conversation, knows the issues, sees what we're talking about. And I think on some of these more important and larger issues, to put them into the subcommittee, especially kind of prematurely, I was thinking that we'd have some more discussion of these issues tonight, maybe at our next big public meeting. But I think that on issues like that, I'd prefer to have them out at the full JPA, so for the public access to them.
If I could interject, and one of the two lawyers here could correct me, I believe the I think your comments are appropriate that the full board could change the subcommittee, but I think the topics are so complex, and trying to get 10 or 12 of us to agree on something first time out of the box, that's not highly probable. Whereas if the subcommittee could kind of get it down to here's the working issues, but one can argue that pro and con.
Yeah, my feeling was that the purpose of the subcommittee is to go through a larger quantity of material, sort and filter, and then get the relevant and salient points and bring them then with the recommendation from your subcommittee as to you know what you'd recommend to the board. So it would appear in my mind to make this meeting more formal and a little shorter, and do the roll-up-your-sleeve homework at the subcommittee meeting, and I'd prefer to keep it that way if we could. Again, they are open to the public, and they are under the Brown Act and available, so I don't see that we're excluding anyone who's truly interested. We have another item on the agenda coming up that discusses having someone as a public information officer, and I know you just someone just addressed the keeping the public informed, and I think we'd like to discuss that concept as well here in a few minutes.
May I? Are you seeing this subcommittee meeting? Because we had talked, I think, earlier about meeting monthly as a whole group. Is this subcommittee meeting weekly then, or every other week? Or
decision from this board, they should call the joint meeting of the two boards. Bill? Or Bob? I'm sorry.
Excuse me. I just had a thought that I thought you might want to consider, and that is it might be appropriate for the larger body to look at the issues in a general way. I mean, there's a long list that Bruce has, and you might be able to go through there, and many of them might be non-issues so far as they have to do with the two entities. And if you can get clarity and definition on those, you might end up with an exception list of issues where there isn't agreement or maybe further discussion or refinement is needed on a limited list of things. And maybe that group of items could go to the subcommittee as opposed to the sort of the whole picture and then trying to winnow down through it and bring it back that way. Just a thought.
Okay, well, what I'd like to do would be to have our subcommittee meet, and let's look at Bruce's white paper and pick out the things that we could make a decision on and see if we could make some progress with that and then bring it back to both boards. Bruce?
You know, as far as the being able to call a special meeting, I think that originally, just to remind everybody, we have a really hard time getting this group together. And it really helps if we can set meeting dates ahead of time, because I know that Bonnie and I really struggle when it comes to trying to pull meeting dates. It's not a five-person board. So when you try and get two quorums together and all the necessary staff, it really helps to have regular meetings. And I think for the next couple months, Rob may be able to help me out.
You know, I requested them to put together the draft of this settlement agreement and still haven't received it. So, you know, I'll follow up on that, but that would be our next step, is to get that in front of you to take a look at, and whether that could be September, we'll just have to see. So,
okay. Go ahead, Betty.
No, just in light of Bruce's comments, then maybe what we need to do is hold ourselves to what we already committed, which was the second Wednesday or the third Wednesday of every month, and we know that, which should be in our calendars, and just plan on that for September. And then if you want a subcommittee before then, maybe we could do that towards the end of August.
Wednesdays were a problem.
It was not Wednesday.
Second Wednesday of Wednesday is no good for me.
And was there second Thursday?
No.
Second Thursday. Okay. Was that right, second Thursday?
That's what we ended up with.
Okay.
Isn't that an agenda item later in the meeting to pick up, to set the meeting dates?
We had previously settled on something. I was just trying to clarify what our previous agreement had been.
I believe the previous agreement was the second Wednesday of each month would make September 14th.
Not available on Wednesday. That's
okay. But that was the previous agreement.
Yes.
We can change it, obviously.
Yes. Okay. So are we set with the second Wednesday idea? I mean, second Thursday. Sorry. Second Thursday. All right. Because I agree. I think we should stick to that schedule. And then the subcommittee has got to meet in between and be ready with their recommendations at that general meeting.
Probably initially the subcommittee should be every other week if they're going to tackle Bruce's white paper, because there's a lot of issues there.
Yeah, at least right now, we would like to start to address that and see if we could move forward with it. Let's not do
first.
It next week. Okay, then the following week.
The
21st of September? Would that work? Or is that no?
Meeting early in the morning, I think, worked the last time. Is that still okay?
Only if you bring the donuts.
I brought them last time.
I know. But you know where to get them. So is it, if that's agreeable, then we'll meet as a subcommittee then on the 1st of September at, what did we do, 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah.
At Morro Bay.
Mr. President, is there any way that could happen before then?
And are you going to ask the auditor to be present? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's two topics, the agenda, the white paper, and the auditor. And we'll start with the first or the latter and see how far we get, and then we'll attack the white paper.
And the white paper has a number of subjects, so we won't run out of things to do.
And, right. And Bill, your formal meeting date is what date? Is that September 8th?
Is that, yeah. Would that be the second Thursday?
That's not going to leave a whole lot of time to try and prepare a formal staff report for that meeting if we're meeting on
That's
the
right.
morning of the 1st. I mean, you might get it 3 days ahead of time, but it's going to, if you want a written report, it's going to take a few days to generate that stuff after the meetings and try and get everything. And normally we try and get packets out at least a...
Does that work for everyone?
Thad was suggesting maybe the committee could meet the 25th of August. Move it up a week.
August 25th.
That's fine with me. You want to do it meet the subcommittee meet on the 25th?
25th and then the regular meeting.
And the regular meeting, keep it on the 8th? All right, let's
okay.
do that.
Well, I'm not hearing what...
Subcommittee meeting on the 25th and
August
then the regular
25th.
Meeting on the 8th.
Gives you an additional week.
August 25th.
That's 2 weeks
and
in between.
And the meeting stays on the 8th.
Right.
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay.
Is he in town?
All right. Then, good. Let's do that. And that'll give us a chance to get started on what we need to do for Bruce. With that, I'd like to take a short break.
Thank you.
Just a few minutes, and then we'll get back together. Thank you.
Most days.
All right, we'll reconvene, and we'll take item C4, and seeing that my name is on that, I guess I'll do the talking. My concern here, and we had discussed this, I think, at an earlier meeting, was that we keep the public informed about the decisions we're making and the progress we're making with this movement to upgrade the treatment plant. We let them know about the decisions to whether we're going to secondary or tertiary. We, as the boards here, I think, need to recognize someone that is the spokesperson for both boards. One of the things we would like not to have happen is that every member of these two boards has a slightly different reception of what's said at a meeting, is my experience anyway, and Not that anyone would misrepresent what they heard, but sometimes misinformation can get out. I listened to the public speakers tonight in our public comment period, and I heard a number of misinformed statements, and I was wishing that I could comment to the people. Your attorney is your spokesman. Maybe we'd like to make Bruce the spokesman, but I'd like to be sure that that public has a place to go to get accurate and correct information on what our progress is. So with that, I'd like to hear from some of the other members.
I'll comment, if I may. I think that Bruce would be the appropriate person because he's the only one that understands all this stuff completely anyway. And if somebody starts asking questions or wants an opinion on what the process entails, he's the one we'd have to hand it off to. So since he's the best informed and the least involved politically, I would suspect that he would probably be the best candidate to be a spokesperson should someone ask for information.
He's also a very good speaker.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Yeah. I second what you say, but I just worry that his cup is overflowing and just how much he's got on his plate. And the question I have, does Morro Bay have, I hate the word PR personally, you know, but do they have any kind of a ombudsman that people go to when they have issues or anything like that?
Typically, it's the department head, if I may, Madam Mayor. Typically, it's the department head or somebody in the various departments, depending on what the issue is. If it's a citywide thing, of course, our city manager or our city attorney. But, for example, if it's a police issue, they usually go to the police chief.
Or they come to the mayor during office hours.
And I think as far as what your concerns are, they're very valid concerns. And I suspect maybe down the road, when we actually start doing something where there's a lot more public interest, I believe that for those questions, any PR person we bring in is going to have to call Bruce for an answer anyway. So why not just have Bruce answer it?
Mr. President, I think you successfully combined C4 and C5. I thought when we talked at the district meeting, our concern with C4 separating the two issues is that most large corporations have an official spokesman, which usually is an attorney, one of those sleazy people, which I have a daughter and son-in-law that are attorneys when I make that statement. affectionate statement. And then to the comment that Bill just brought up, that was the idea of C5, that whether it be down the road or now, that that be a separate person or organization to do more of a PR type to try to combat the misinformation comments that we heard tonight. But I think the idea of C4 is like when reporters in that want to go, where do they get the party line? Where do they get the official statement that's legally correct? So there's like when they hear rumors, oh, you're going after a 301H, where do they go to get, is that true or is that not true? That was the idea, I think, of C4.
Well, I think that the most important thing is someone who is informed. And as informed as our city attorney is on certain issues about this, he's not really informed with the technical and scientific issues the way Bruce would be. And what Councilmember Pierce said is very true. He is totally unpolitically motivated. It's his job. He's the expert at it. This is what he does every day. So at this stage, I think he really is the best person as a spokesperson.
I have no problem with him.
Okay.
I happen to agree with what you just said.
Okay.
And I don't know the political side of it.
If I could make a comment. If we're going to us.
So let me ask Bruce, are you comfortable with that role?
Well, when I saw C4 and C5, actually C6, I think I drew the short straw on all of them in the beginning. So I kind of feel like I've been doing some of that already because we have had media coverage that has come down and we have dealt with it at the plant. From the technical and scientific side, I'm certainly comfortable doing it. I kind of grimace sometimes when everybody else does it because I think I have a better handle on that end of it. And if I need help from the legal end, I'm sure I can tap Rob or Tim to help me out on that.
Yes, Nat?
I think a lot of the issues that are going to come up, of course you never predict, but may not be technical. And they're just like you say, clarifications of things like we've been hearing for the last many weeks that are half-truths and so forth. I really think a person like a lawyer could handle it, and if there are technical issues, obviously he could embrace Bruce. Now, whether Tim and the Morro Bay lawyer split this between them or we go from one to the other, I don't know. And how to be funded, I'm not sure. But I really think it belongs at their desk and not at Bruce's desk as the primary point of contact. Thank you.
Other comments from the council?
Oh, I'll throw my oar in again. I was just thinking what some of the questions might be good. And it might be that, you know, 2 weeks into this, Bruce is going to turn around and say, these are all legal questions. I'm out of here. In which case, then we fall back five and punt. But I think right now, when most of what people are asking about is what's the difference, what works, what doesn't work, what would it entail, those aren't legal questions yet. Those are formation questions. And I think we're still at that stage. And it, as I say, it may be, you're absolutely right, in a few weeks we're back to having a lawyer speak for us. But I think that's just a little early.
I'll make a comment then that, one, I'm comfortable with Bruce as a spokesperson. And I think I heard from both sides here that the comment at this stage or at this time, and maybe it gets more complex as we go forward. And I brought it up at this time because I was concerned about as we go forward. And as someone suggested, I think when the December, is Rob still here? Rob, December 2nd, what is that date that you expect to hear back from Regional Water with the contract or their proposal or whatever it is, then perhaps that's something that the attorneys are going to be talking about or answering to. And so maybe there's some distinct division of who talks about what, and I'll leave it at this point. In my mind, I'm comfortable with Bruce saying, well, you'll have to ask the city attorney that. But my biggest concern is that we recognize as board members that we do defer public questions to the appropriate individuals and not try to be the spokesperson for an individual spokesperson for a board. So any other comments?
We're still on C4, right?
We're on C4.
And in a vacuum, things go crazy. And I'm basing my comments on Cayucas' recent rate case and CSD organization attempt, et cetera, that all happened within the last year. And I really think this group, we've adopted a 9.5-year plan, went to Regional Quality Control Board, but I think there should be someone out meeting the local organizations. Again, I only speak Cayucas, like the Citizen Advisory Board. I'm sure there's 4 or 5 or 10 groups in Morro Bay, and should be going and making a PowerPoint presentation, and here's what's going on, and here's the plan, so the people get to see it firsthand, don't just hear about it from other people. I think we owe it to our stakeholders, our ratepayers, to communicate what's going on, and that's the idea of C5. And Bruce is more than capable of doing C5, but I think that's filling his plate too full. I don't have an answer who should be C5. I'm just posing a question.
What is the goal of this? I'm not quite sure. I mean, we have the advantage in Morro Bay that all of our meetings are televised. And so our community is very well informed. They'll watch this one if they're interested. So we don't really, we've never had the need for that kind of a thing because it's there constantly. Every day, several times, the meetings will be repeated. And so we're kind of saturated with public information in Morro Bay. Now, that may not be the same here. We just never had the need for this kind of a service because of that.
Again, as I said, I'm reacting from Cayucas, and I appreciate what you said, Mayor. Mm-hmm. I'm also, and do formal presentations to groups and stuff like that. Again, maybe it's not needed in Morro Bay, and maybe this is something that Cayucas has to do by themselves. But I really, and I appreciate what you said, I just really think that the ratepayers are the ones that need to hear it from an official person versus other people with other interests.
And if I could jump in here a little bit on this one, I think that in Morro Bay we have a high degree of transparency about what goes on. As Jenna says, all of the meetings, and I think that comes back to why I was suggesting that we discuss more things at these joint meetings so that they are televised and so that people do hear about them. So I don't see any need, actually, for hiring a public relations person. But again, I think, as the mayor said, if Cayucas wants to do something on their own, fine. But I don't think that we feel any concern about this because I feel that our public's well informed about this process.
Okay, well, I would refer back to that earlier comment about not at this time. And as this gets stickier and the public, and I think we can read it as it goes along, I'd be comfortable to proceed as we are. I think it's something that we wanted to bring up and put on the table and be aware of and simply keep that in mind that as we go forward, we might want to consider that. Are you comfortable with that, Bill? All right. Thank you. With that, we'll go to item C6. And I had some question about the home in the coastal zone and not familiar with that process. It can be frightening, unknown, and defeating. So what I'd like to do is recognize that the process we're about to go through may have a lot of pitfalls. We need lead times on a number of things, decisions we need to make. And again, this falls to Bruce, and we're concerned about overloading Bruce. Now, I will suggest, and I did in my little report here, that Mr. David Stringfield from Corollo had approached me as offering that service, being familiar with the process, having been through upgrading treatment plants before somewhere, I assume, he suggested that he could provide that service. I'm simply throwing it out on the table. It doesn't need to be Mr. Stringfield. It could be some other engineering firm, or it could be someone internal. But someone who's familiar with the overall process, the steps we need to go through, and maybe I'm wrong in thinking it's that complicated, but if this is anything like trying to build a house in the coastal zone, it could be real tricky. Any comments?
I think I have a bit of a problem with Mr. Stringfield. I think that would be a conflict of interest.
We
need him as an expert, as his, our consultant. I don't think we need him as someone to take us through the process. Now, whether we need someone to take us through the process, that I can see the advantage in that. Who it would be is another question.
Just whispering here with Bruce, and we may get that as part.
And it's going to assist us in that process, and that process is going to dovetail into the environmental and the financial. And at each of those levels, we're going to have to tap a technical consultant to assist us in that process because it's outside the scope of the expertise that we have in-house, obviously. I think from my standpoint, I have this plexiglass frame that sits outside my office. So every day I look at the time schedule and I go, in 8 years I'm going to be, there I'm going to be. And I think it's easy to see whether we're staying on track or not. The question is, how do we prompt ourselves if we start to fall behind? And from my standpoint, I think task one that kind of carries into task two is going to be the most difficult task to stay on time with. And I'm not sure how we facilitate the discussions that we're going to have through the subcommittee. And, maybe we need somebody in that area. But I think as a collective whole, it's easy from staff standpoint to see whether we're meeting the milestones that are there. And if we're not meeting the milestones, then I'm assuming somebody's going to kick me in the butt and say, hey, we need to up this process, or we need to do something to get back on track. And that's part of the reason I started the facilities plan, was just for my own, to get ahead a little bit of that whole project. But I think it's the first year of how you facilitate the conversation between the city and the district and get substantive conversation and discussion about depreciation schedules and secondary versus
tertiary treatment and cost allocations when we come to the beginning. And granted, there are some politics that may come because they're both representing their respective bodies, but they are good, I think, at trying to mediate discussion. And maybe that's where we need to start, is simply have a couple subcommittee meetings, see where we go, and if we truly get to an impasse, maybe somebody can say, hey, this person can facilitate this part of the conversation and see where we go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let me make a couple comments. One is that at this time, Corolo has finished their first report. They're no longer employed. They're no longer a part of this. Now, we have the facilities plan, and we expect to see, I believe, the Corolo or someone else come back and be a part of that. Is that what we would be doing?
Yeah, that's correct. I think you're going to end up with, I'm hoping, a number of proposals from very large engineering firms similar to what we had before, the Black and Veatches, the Corolo Engineers, the Brown and Caldwells, the people that are in the business of building and designing and constructing wastewater treatment facilities.
Okay, and the other items that you discuss, which are how we're going to pay, whether we do tertiary, what our capacities we'd like, and that type of thing, I think that's something that I don't see some outside consultant telling us how to do that. I agree. We need to jump in. I think our attorneys will help us. That's one of the things, and we're scheduled then to talk about at this next upcoming subcommittee meeting. This was more global in terms of the entire process and dealing with outside aid in that facilities plan, and that's part of their responsibility. So, again, it's an effort to recognize that these things need to be addressed, and we need to understand who's doing that and make sure that we stay on our schedule.
Can I make
one final comment? Following up on what Bruce said, I think if the subcommittee meets once a month and this total group meets once a month, within 90 days, we'll know if we've gotten anywhere, and everybody else is going to know just as well. So within 90 days, and that's before we're getting this thing back from Regional Water Quality Control Board, we'll know if we've made any progress and what we have to do next.
And the other comment I'd make is that the board's made a big decision and a positive decision in upgrading the treatment plant. And it's been, if you really think back, I know that Ms. Windholtz has been on the subcommittee. Robert, you've been on the subcommittee. I mean, we met 2.5 years ago with the alternatives evaluation from Canon, and there's been progress all the way through. This is going to be a really long project. I mean, truly, it's a 9.5-year project. And if we push hard, we might be able to get it done in 7.5 years. But, you know, you go out of the gate like a rabbit, and the turtle passes you halfway through, and we just have to have some patience sometimes and realize that it's going to take time to get through this whole project and not panic in the beginning and say, oh, we need to jump right out and do it. I think we just have to counsel patience.
Mr. President?
Bill?
I think our concern at our district meetings about this topic was that has Corolo less, I'm assuming, will be by different engineering firms or different groups, as Bruce rightly said, with different expertise. But this one person would be kind of the cement that keeps it all together, again, not from a management viewpoint, but from a schedule viewpoint. That was the thrust of the idea. And again, maybe it's premature, but with, again, Cayucas limited viewpoint and our recent lift station 2, we got hung up with some kind of pressure gauge from an electronic to a mechanical, and it delayed us 2 or 3 months, which you know, nobody knew that up front. And it's little things like that that we're afraid of, that in a project of this order of magnitude, it could have large impact.
Well, I think, I guess when you get into the facilities plan, I don't know if you do it here, but I believe at some point you'd have value engineering, you'd have a third-party engineering firm kind of looking over the shoulder of the design, and maybe, I mean, I'm sure you could have somebody look at the schedule, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, we could have somebody like Canon take a quick review of it and go, hey, what do you think? You know, are we missing something here? But I think until you really get into the nuts and bolts of it, I don't know how whether we can answer those questions yet. And I guarantee you, when it gets into the construction phase and the shakedown phase, from the operations standpoint, we'll run all the engineers off and make it work.
Along that line, Bruce, we were talking amongst ourselves when we get to the construction phase, which we're a long ways away, that we'd have a separate contracted independent person to monitor all
and did all the work. And I've simply suggested here that at that next meeting we appoint someone to actually be the chair, shouldn't be a staff person, and maybe we can find someone to actually take some minutes so Bruce can do his job and we can help him out.
I think that's a good idea.
Any other comments?
Well, just one that there's a lot of things that we've talked about tonight that we kind of put off to the future, but I think it's a good thing that we're thinking of these things now. Even if they are premature, I think it's important for all of us to kind of keep looking for those things that we need to be aware of as we go through this process. Because, as you say, it is very complex, and it is going to be a difficult road. And we got 10 of us up here who all need to be thinking that way, and I appreciate that. So.
All right. Well, that was the purpose of those last few items.
Yeah,
and thank you for just listening and helping out. With that, we have already scheduled our next subcommittee meeting and the next joint meeting, I believe. And
the subcommittee meeting will be televised as well. We have assured, AGP has assured us of that.
So wear a clean shirt.
7:30 in the morning, I believe they said.
And 7.
AGP is now reluctant to film that meeting.
and the film crew brings the donuts.
But there will be donuts. Okay, they're back.
You're bringing it.
And the joint meeting will be at a regular time, 7 o'clock.
Morro Bay.
In Morro Bay.
Right.
Mr. President, isn't the joint meeting on the 15th versus the 8th?
No, I thought we said that was the 8th.
We're going to meet on
I obviously wasn't following.
All right. With that, a motion from Cayucas to adjourn would be in order. Motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mayor Peters.
Second.
Discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.